How much will it really take to rebuild Haiti and to do it right, not just to rebuild it, but to rebuild it into something better than what it was before the devastating earthquake? At the end of last month, the international community came together and pledged over $9 billion to the earthquake-crippled country. Now the question is, how do you spend it? And how do you spend it in the right way? It's sort of an opportunity. Well, Donna Berry has been working in Haiti for almost 25 years, and she sees a powerful need to direct that money towards building and sustaining Haitian institutions. Donna, good morning.
Good morning.
$9 billion. There's a long way between a government writing a check to an NGO, a non-governmental organization, and getting that antibiotic or that splint at the bedside in a hospital. What is the best way to do this? Circumvent the NGOs, the traditional distributors of money?
Well, I think we need to continue to help support NGOs to help provide services in Haiti, but I think we also need to be directing more funds towards Haitian institutions, as you said, to really turn this into a better country as well as better local institutions than we were doing before the earthquake hit.
Now, how much work do those Haitian institutions have to do before they're qualified, quite frankly, to take on $9 billion of money? I don't know what kind of quality they bring to the table, but are they ready to support that kind of money to rebuild their own country?
Well, I think many of them are ready and could easily be ready if some of the funds were directed just towards salary support for more staff for these institutions themselves. So we've been working in the Central Plateau, as you said, for over 20 years, and really working with local institutions there, like the health department directors, as well as hospital directors, clinic directors, nurses, doctors, community health workers, who want, you know, with just some shoulder-to-shoulder accompaniment and direction, can really manage the projects, the work themselves. It's really a matter of just being supportive of local institutions rather than trying to do it all yourself.
Now, you just have to wonder, in any situation where this much money is pouring into a place that has been devastated, institutions have been devastated, how big of an issue is corruption if we were to pour $9 billion into these institutions, as you say?
Well, I think it's optimistic to think that all $9 billion is going to be given in the short term. I think that
right.
This will actually last over the next few years. And for the infrastructure development that's needed, all the rebuilding and all the needs, the amount is you know, hopefully enough. But I do think that at a higher government level, that's why they're trying to set up a multi-donor fund and a real collaborative board to help manage the money and manage the grants, so that they can, just like we're doing sort of on a local level, at a national level, try to support the Haitian government in managing these funds.
You have confidence in terms of preventing corruption?
I do. I think if it's done correctly, it's actually going to be fine. There's some research that's been done by the Inter-American Development Bank, which has been channeling a lot of money to the Haitian government over the past few years, to show that, in fact, they are one of the least corrupt governments that's handling money from them.
Well, that's encouraging, then.
That's
encouraging. Yeah. So you think that there's a lot of politics when it comes to stuff like this, and we don't want to get bogged down in NGOs versus NGOs, but a lot of the organizations that have been working there probably don't want to part with the funding that they have an opportunity to get here.
Well, it's a new way of doing business in Haiti, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
And I think that, we as well as the Office of the Special Envoy with President Clinton and one of our founders, Paul Farmer, have really been trying to push for a way of the new way of doing things, just because the experience shows that in the past, when we've been strictly giving outside the government, we haven't been able to build up the structures there that would last long term. And so we're really hoping that this different approach will lead to that.
All right, Donna Berry, Advocacy and Political Policy Director for Partners in Haiti. Thanks for joining us. I want to turn now to right here at home in Florida, because the money needed for Haitians inside Haiti is great, but it's also great outside of Haiti. In South Florida, a few organizations are sharing a $600,000 grant from the Knight Foundation to help Haitians on this side of the Caribbean. The Knight Foundation supports this show as well. Marlene Bastine runs a community group called Haitian Women of Miami. Good morning, Marlene. Marlene, good morning. Oh, Donna, or we have Donna with us. Hello, who do I have with me in Miami this morning?
This is Cheryl Little from the Florida Advocacy Center.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's not your fault, Cheryl. It's just that the host this morning is having trouble reading. That's all, from the Washington studios. Cheryl, your program in Miami, you have access to $600,000 to help Haitians in Florida. What exactly are you doing with the money? What needs to be done for Haitians here in the United States?
Well, we are very grateful that we got a $100,000 grant from the Knight Foundation. And what we're doing is, I mean, we really have our work cut out for us because according to U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, there are roughly 100,000 to 200,000 Haitians who are eligible for this temporary relief. So they're prevented from being deported for 18 months. They can apply for work permits, get a driver's license. But there's a very short window of opportunity. There's a July 19th deadline. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're organizing and participating in TPS drives and clinics. We're trying to identify as many pro bono attorneys and agencies that can provide quality assistance. We are providing training and technical assistance. We're getting on Creole radio and television programs.
Are you finding some resistance from Haitians in the community to apply for these for this money and this assistance through the government? Some of them are reluctant, as I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, we believe that, you know, high fees, fraud, and fear are the principal reasons that more Haitians have not applied. The fee alone is $470 per person for a Haitian aged 14 to 65. So if you've got four family members above the age of 14, that fee is close to $2,000. In terms of fraud, we're very concerned that scammers, racketeers in Haitian Creole, are charging exorbitant fees and then submitting very shoddy applications or not even submitting those applications. And finally, we're very concerned that many Haitians are very concerned if they come forward and apply that immigration and customs enforcement officials will come and pick them up and deport them regardless.
All right. Well, concerns in Florida as well. Cheryl Little from the Florida Immigrant Advocacy Center, thank you for joining us.